Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Deep Dive Podcast. I have with me here my usual co-host slash buddy, Steve Chia.
Yeah, hey, great to be here. And it's kind of a fun topic tonight.
Yes, it is. It is something that's quite close to my heart because I think...
Really?
Yeah.
When's the last time you went...
Actually, just last week.
Just last week.
I like to dance. For me, it's the best cardio workout in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the place where I went, which is somewhere in town, I went there at about 11-ish and a whole bunch of young people. It was crowded, but nobody was really moving or drinking. So I was like...
Oh, so no one was dancing. So you didn't quite get your workout.
I did not burn enough calories.
See. You should have come with me because Uncle went to Mumbo Jumbo. So it's been a while. We got a whole big group of friends. We went, you know, playing all the music that we kind of liked. So there was a lot of grooving and never gonna give you up. And you know, so anyhow, but we're talking about the nightlife because things have changed, especially when COVID hit. That really brought on a lot of restrictions on social gatherings. Nightclubs and bars were shut. In fact, it took 2 years before things were finally allowed to be fully open.
I know, and I think that perhaps maybe did a bit of damage on nightlife, right? Because I think we've noticed that footfall has really, really gone down. Mm-hmm. So anyway, to help revitalize Singapore's nightlife, the government actually recently announced some of the changes that will kick in as of August 18. Restaurant bars, pubs, nightclubs in Boat Quay and Clarke Quay area, they can apply to extend their liquor trading hours by 1 hour to 4 a.m. On Friday and Saturday mornings.
There are plans to open new bars, new pubs, nightclubs along the Boat Quay, Waterfront, Circular Road, Lorong Teluk and Canton Street. Now, that's a first in 16 years. So this is all part of a one-year pilot project to try and, I guess, rejuvenate.
Yeah, just to hype
nightlife.
Up the scene, you know, bring the people back onto the dance floor again.
That's right.
Is it enough?
Okay, guys, let's jump into it. Danny, I'll start with you because the authorities reached out to the association to understand how to better revitalize the area, right? And you mentioned that you were really candid in your meetings. I mean, tell us how candid you were and what did you tell them?
We must understand that things have changed quite drastically after COVID. You know, consumer behavior has changed. We are dealing with also Gen Z, customers that may not, you know, have gone through the whole, Palm Room and Club Key and the heyday, right? So I think we brought to them, to their attention, you know, what things have changed and how we can actually help, try to revitalize the whole nightlife scene, you know, and Boat Quay, Clarke Quay is a sandbox. So we are trying to make this as a way of a case study, a first step towards looking at how we can actually revitalize a precinct and then take that kind of learnings for the others. Mm. So we have to start somewhere, as a first step, you know, towards other kind of recommendations, whether it's about how we actually try to make alcohol pricing a little bit more competitive, which is always a hard question, and also transport. There's also many issues with this.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. Like after it's all over, how do you get home?
And how expensive it is to actually, you know, try and like grab a cab, because all of that would be some of the key factors, right?
Yeah.
So, like Morgan, help us understand how do you think this extra 1 hour, for instance, right, from on going into Fridays and Saturdays, how do you think that's going to impact businesses? Do you think it's going to, there's real teeth in it?
So, no disrespect. So I think the extension of hours would help those big businesses who they need to extend the hours. Great, right? But for small businesses, I don't know whether they will help.
Well, why do you say that? So from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., I mean, are you saying by 3 a.m. they might be empty already anyway?
Okay, so for example, right, smaller venues, they close earlier.
Right.
Right, so maybe they close at 3 because the licensing is important.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Some close at 12, some close at 3.
Yeah.
So going at 4 might not really benefit them. But those people who have, for example, Clarke Quay, those people who have licenses to go until 4, they get longer time to earn the money, right?
Right.
Mm.
Because instead of 3 hours, because people go out at 12:30, right? Now they can extend until 4. So they have an extra hour to earn that money. So that's great, right? So now how do we help the smaller venues, the more independent venues, to earn that? Because they start earlier. They start maybe at 5.
But what about people in general? I mean, are they clubbing or starting their night earlier? I mean, there is also that sense that, you know, the profile of clubbers have sort of changed from our time. I don't know what is it like now among Gen Zs, for instance.
Nightlife is not just about the clubbing side.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, there's also live music. There's also just just people having out, having a drink, right? I mean, you know, just having a chill out drink.
Okay.
So I think nightlife is not just, you know, limited to that. And I think I understand what Morgan is saying. And that's why the road closures also is important important part of this, because the road closures for Circular Road, we want to work with the event management, SRO, okay, and so with event management to, you know, companies to come in with interesting ideas, maybe a pub crawl.
Because I remember the Club Street and, area, you know, back then when they sort of closed off the streets, it was packed. People were moving, and there was such an electric atmosphere. Mm. So that is what you're hoping will come back.
So it's a combination of things. I mean, the 4 o'clock thing is one. Yes, it does benefit people that have really have crowd till 3 and then, you know, extend by 1 hour. Mm. But the Circular Road closure is actually an important part, because then you can have regular events.
Pop events, yeah, theme pop parties. Events, yeah, yes, I think it's better. Like you get more footfall along the...
That's right. Okay. That's right. Music festivals, yes, you know. Exactly. Even coffee festivals. Why not?
Right.
I mean, does it have to be just about alcohol, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so when you look at the entire nightlife scene in Singapore, what is missing? What seems to be the real challenge here? What would you say?
So I think people always think nightlife is just bars and clubs, right? Yeah. It's not just that. It's just what happens at night when the sun goes down. What happens after that? What do people do?
Yeah.
Right? So it's music, there's events, there can be art and tech events where they can, you know, it happens at night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Not just in the daytime, right? So I think this is important, how we make these events come into the nightlife environment.
Right. Is it just about more activities overall to engage people?
For sure, content. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so more content that happens in the evenings, basically.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
So we've also been reading that there is this thing called, like, what is it? Coffee Beats? Like where people
beans,
are partying.
Beans, right. beans and beats.
There's beans and beats. There's also one more called Exposure Therapy where they drink matcha.
Exposure Therapy. Exactly. That sounds a bit wrong, but yeah. Go ahead.
So it's this company where they give matcha. It's for a Gen Z environment. Right, they give matcha and then they rave to DJs, to music, to house music.
That's right.
Yes.
No alcohol.
But this is like
no
some alcohol. Of them yeah. doing it at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that kind
and
of thing.
And they start really early, yes.
So that is no longer under nightlife, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's a nightlife venue, right? It's in a nightlife venue.
So when you say after dark, what does that mean? I mean, some say 6, some say 7. Yeah, but basically when it gets dark, that's where the nightlife comes up, right? I mean, so that's why I think we need to approach, as what Morgan says, it's a collective effort. It's not just about bars, clubs, but it's also about restaurants, right? Because they also function after 6. What kind of offerings they can give. Also events, concerts, attractions, even night bazaar.
It's almost like I feel Singapore needs to have something a bit special about its nightlife that will then get people to come. Like okay, I think about Zouk Out. It's a big party. It's still clubbing at night, but it is a destination event. Do we need these kind of things to also contribute to the whole scene?
So I think nightlife is not just alcohol. It's not just fixing the best drink, or it's not just nowadays, it's not the best drink or the best cocktail.
Yeah.
It's about the whole experience.
Okay.
Right? Whether Instagrammable, whether, you know, people have a good time out, they meet new people, they make new friends.
I was just speaking to a friend of mine. Her opinion is that like the nightlife scene / like clubbing scene is sort of dying in Singapore, because she says that the dating apps have killed businesses.
Oh.
Like before there was a concept, right? Like, you know, you go to these places, you can maybe you meet someone, hello, how are you, can I buy you a drink,
now
that
you
sort
don't
of thing
need to.
Now you know, you just swipe, you can meet somebody for coffee somewhere, just you know. So that has also impacted business. You what are your thoughts on that?
Are you on a dating app?
Not a large extent. Yeah,
no. Maybe the couples get together because they met at the pub crawl.
100%. They've been married as well.
Yes,
they have.
I mean, you bring up a good point, but it's not just about dating apps, right? I mean, it's Netflix, there's social media, and people are different now. I understand that. But I think at some point, people need to come out and meet people. And I think we collectively need to make it more interesting. As you say, what is a Singapore brand for nightlife? And and I think for us, this Boat Quay Clark Quay thing with the pop crawl organizers, or even with bars and restaurants, who do we partner to bring in something unique? Whether it's not just St. Patrick's, you know, or one of those, but something extra.
There's like F1, food, there's Halloween, there's 4th of July, there's so many other holidays which can be celebrated in Singapore.
But I again have to bring us back to cost.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
I mean, because, I mean, we are working adults. Imagine, I'm already feeling the pinch, you know. You know, you go to a nice place, it's $25 for a cocktail, you know, and then we usually have more than one cocktail. Yeah. And then it all adds up, and that's excluding GST and all of that.
100%.
So, I mean, that to me is sort of like the big issue here that we are not quite addressing. Mm. I mean,
well,
I don't know. Is
the
it
drinks,
the cost of the cost of eating out?
And then you stay out late
out
and you want to get a ride home.
Correct.
Which,
that's another $50.
Costs you another $50.
And don't
forget,
after that, there's also a supper culture, right? And I hear like now the young people, they don't go for McDonald's, they do Hai Di Lao and all that. That's again another chunk. So it all adds up, you see. So you think that's also one of the big factors that's deterring people from going out partying?
You know, you're right. I mean, you know, I used to go to Zouk, you know, and then like, you know, 3 o'clock we go for Teochew Mue, yeah. and then yep. you know, it's a standard thing, you know, yep. or Bak Kut Teh or yep. whatever, right? I think the because of COVID, I would say COVID actually changed a lot of things, behavioral things, right?
Like how so?
Health. People yeah. are more health conscious. Okay. People are going to the gym more, and nothing wrong with that. Actually, yeah. it's right, perfect. Right. It's great, right? Yep. It's good stuff. But I think that generation for that 3 years, whatever generation from 18 to okay. 21 mm. didn't do what we did, you know. I right. mean, when I was 18, you know, and I must say when I was 18, I went to Hard Rock Cafe. Hard Rock Cafe. I used to watch Bushman. I used to go there and watch Jive Talking or whoever the band's yeah. playing right, that time, right. Chaggy's. Mm. And that was just like, oh, hey, friends will go and we'll share a cab, you know, at the end. We'll just yeah. share a cab to go home. That 3 years did make an impact for that generation. Mm. Now, I think we just have a lot of work ahead of us to try to kind of bring back some... But yeah.
One will argue, okay, so true enough, that generation's kind of missed out a little bit. But then now, the current generation, are they not going out as well? Have they therefore looked at the previous generation and gone, oh, I don't need to go out, I can do other stuff. I mean, what is it? Why has it not come back well, to what we were used to?
The 3 years, just, I mean, the 3 years... I think that did impact the businesses,
yeah.
right? There's a lot of places that closed down. I don't want to be too, you know, it's every week you see sure. some FNB, news about
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah.
So because of the 3 years and because of COVID and also post-COVID, and some argue that post-COVID is harder than COVID, the FNB okay. and the nightlife, wow. right? So you have to understand some of these businesses are just closed, and therefore that's why there's lack of venues too, coupled with the fact that there's a change of behavior. Mm. Yeah, it's compounded, like, you know. And come back to your question about cost. It is a concern for a lot of us. As operators, you know, we have actually made some mm-hmm. suggestions to the agencies, government agencies, about that.
Right.
Step by step, like, you know, we are trying to talk to them yeah, about... Yeah.
What do you hope will come out of that?
I hope we will have a hard look at that, you know, whether it's about taxation or whether it's about how do we actually work with suppliers. We need to work as a collective. We need to work with the big boys out there and find a way to say, hey, for the next 3 years, we got to work together.
So when you say the big boys, these are some of the...
Big boys meaning suppliers. I don't want to say any brands here. But
okay,
you know,
but the whole ecosystem from the ecosystem, supplier right. to the venue to the, you know...
Event organizers.
I mean, all this you're saying needs to... come together. Is it very challenging now? Is every man trying to just survive and therefore not able to, you know, do this like I help you, you help me kind of thing?
I think we try to help each other, but however, there is a big gap between those people who are smaller independent businesses because number one, they don't have the resources
yeah.
to do nightlife entertainment, for example, like a live band, for example, right? Uh-huh. You need a lot of resources to do a live band. You need to have more staffing to do a bigger event. Some sure. of these smaller venues don't have that, the resources, mm. you see. So, okay, coming back to the point whereby you say, how has the Gen Z has changed the mindset okay. of clubbing? Yes, they're more budget conscious, they're more health conscious, yeah. they're also more experience conscious. They don't just want a drink, they just want an experience. They okay. want to tell a story. Right, they want something to take a picture and then put on their exactly.
You're right.
Yes. So don't tell a story. Hey, I met this person. It's all about a story, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's no more just about the drinks, and of course the drink prices have gone up because of
sure.
alcohol prices, rent prices, whatever stuff costing.
Manpower is a big
yeah.
factor.
Yeah. Okay. That's always been a case.
Yeah. Right.
So compounded by the fact that you know they also have no way to go back home. Right after, even yep. if it's 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., there's still no train. There's still no bus. So
you're still working on that in terms of speaking to the authorities. Maybe try and get them to extend the hours, whether it's a train or bus.
What should government do?
I mean, you know, as a Singapore Nightlife Business Association, we try to represent as many people. I was just talking to Morgan that it has to be a collective effort. It cannot just be bars and clubs, right?
Yep.
It has to be organizers. It has to be place-making people. It has to be attractions, concert promoters. How do we actually get this together? So we are engaging them very, 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 I mean, we're all volunteers, you know, actually.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, my day job is timber, right? So, and I have another bar called Blackbird, but we are really busy with that. But I think for the wider purpose, it's important to work together to say what are the issues, and then we bring it to government and say, you know, can we try to do this? Can we try to do that? And really highlight to them that it's very difficult right now.
So I agree with Danny. All of us in nightlife are being filled by passion. right? But passion only does so much. We still need to pay the bills, right? I have a day job as well. So we're trying, to juggle both things, right? The day job and the nightlife, right? Yeah.
So you were talking about how all these changes are for Boat Quay and Clarke Quay area, right? Should we also be extending it to, like, you know, heartland bars? Because, you know, people who don't want to have to take a grab or a taxi, right?
They don't want to go too far.
Yeah, they just want to within walking. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah. So vibrancy is not just Boat Quay and Clarke Quay. It can also be throughout the heartland. You can do a nightlife festival across Singapore. Why not? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So there's Duxton, there's Joo Chiat. There's a lot of places, hidden places in Singapore where nightlife thrives.
Right.
You know, if you go to in Punggol, there is this waterway front. It's full of nightlife joints.
Okay, okay.
You know, and then you could do something there as well. These are people who are smaller, private establishments, right? And now, a lot of these things don't have the public entertainment license, which is the PEL. I know it's a very rough topic, but I'm going to get there because now to hold a mic, I need a license.
Right. To hold a mic as in to be able to sing with live music and...
Exactly.
You need a public entertainment license.
And these smaller venues don't have the chance to do that because either they're zoned off or not in that proper zone.
Also, they can't get the license. It's not that they don't want to get the license.
They can't do comedy nights. They can't do quiz nights. So it's difficult for them to give them a variety of entertainment.
Then do you think that if we get this moving, like, we actually increase the footfall and authorities, businesses are saying, okay, there is prospects in this, that then we can move on to all the other licensing issues and all of that you mentioned?
Yeah, licensing is a big topic for sure. We have, you know, to stress, we have members from all parts of Singapore. It's not just about Clarke Quay, Boat Quay, but the important thing is a sandbox. So what it is really is that we try this first, we close the roads, we do parties, you know, we work with different groups to work, do parties, try to make Boat Quay, Clarke Quay more vibrant. But, you know, there's also Holland V, there's also other places, Ang Siang, there's also other places, Club Street. We are looking at that, you know, nothing official, but we are looking at that and say, okay, if we succeed with this, then we look at, you know, the other precincts, and we will engage the stakeholders, you know, in all the other precincts.
If I ask you to compare us to other countries in the world, where would you say is the best example of a country that has a very vibrant and strong nightlife scene?
Wow.
Yeah, what kind? I mean, I'm just trying to think. Tokyo, Osaka.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Japan. Okay. I love Japan. You know, you can go out 2 o'clock in the morning. You can find things to do.
It's also not just about the vibrant nightlife and things to do, but also the ecosystem for the after party. How do I get home? So, is this something that we also need to look at you know, changing?
Maybe subsidized ride hailing services. You know, that might work during the nightlife peak hour periods.
Yeah, I think one of our producers was reminding us about something called Night Rider.
They used to be Night Rider.
Don't say la.
And I think Singapore also, the fact that we are such a safe city, you know, it should work in our advantage there. You know, a lady, you can party even till late and it's still safe to be out in public and taking a ride
home.
So there is, it feels like still a lot of potential there to be tapped into.
Exactly right. Okay. Well behaved, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We're so well behaved and we follow rules. We listen to instructions. So, I mean, it almost feels like if we just were a bit more chill in the rules, you know, and allowed more to happen, more could happen.
Mm. For sure. So you don't stifle creativity by just saying, because you want vibrancy, to have a dynamic nightlife, you should have dynamic rules.
Correct.
So this 1 year pilot, right? What would be a fruitful outcome after 1 year, right? What is it that you want to see,
or
what?
For SMBA, our perspective is that this opens up opportunities to work with different stakeholders. You know, event organizers, also with the different bars and restaurants. And as you mentioned, there's going to be new concepts coming in.
Yep.
You know, I think we have to be creative. You know, whether it's a coffee concept or alcohol concept, you know, we have to be creative. Mm. As you say, it's about experience. Mm-hmm. The Gen Z want to have experience. It's a very different generation. They want to have some storytelling. They can tell the story, you know. So I think that is the exciting part. The road closure is a good one because I think road closure, you can have road closure from 6 p.m. onwards, you know, which opens up opportunities to many other organizers to come in, whether it's a music festival, whether it's a local festival, whether it's a food and drink festival, those kind of things. So those are the two things. And then
it becomes like the walking street of Singapore.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
You go to other countries, you go to Thailand, it's a walking street. Cambodia, it's a walking street. It's also a walking street everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's full of nightlife establishments.
I remember those days. Singapore was like that before. Yeah. Yeah. Remember Mohamed Sultan, Club Street. You know.
Looking ahead, if you had a wish list now, I mean, what would be so integral in helping really just kick things off in this next stage? What would you wish and like to have?
I think more collaboration between the stakeholders in the ecosystem.
Okay.
All right. I think they should support more the arts, the tech, get them together, you know, and then do more events, whether it's pop-up or whether it's themed or whether it's a new brand, right? We should, I think, come together and discuss and have like a chit-chat, a brainstorming session, a sandbox, and then hear the voices of other stakeholders who are also in the system, or also in the ecosystem, I mean. You know, I think that would be good to hear ideas and then you can see what works, what doesn't work, and then move on from there.
I remember Walla Walla. I remember, you know, Harry's Bar, you know, the jazz performances. I remember, you know, different live music venues and also clubs. I love the clubs. I mean, you know, Liquid Room, remember that?
Oh, yes, Madam Wong. Yes.
That's right.
And, you know, there was a vibrant time that we had. Even way back where we had Boogie Street was vibrant, you know, even some other questionable areas are vibrant.
Boom Room.
Boom Room. Boom Room. Kuma was there in the early days.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, we need to be, it's all of us in. It's a collective effort by everybody, including customers. Because let's not forget, they are the one that drives us to be able to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have to understand that what is Singapore? Is Singapore a fun place? Is Singapore a place that can go out and be safe at 2 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
And let's really propagate that, you know, and promote that. It's great branding. You know, so
true.
I think it's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah,
this is a great small step, but I think we need to do a lot more. We need to talk to more, you know, stakeholders like Morgan, and then come together and say, hey, do a white paper and just say these are the things that we need. Hopefully, we can convince some changes.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much for coming in, sharing with us. Yeah, you know,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate.
See you somewhere. Okay, so guys, if you have you know, any thoughts, I think the nightlife is something that we all enjoy after a hard day at work. You want to go somewhere and chill and hang out, and it'd be great if we had more spots and more things to do. Any thoughts, any suggestions, drop us a note. We do love to hear from you.
And just before we go, a shout out to our wonderful team who has made this all possible. Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Saye Win, Ho Pei Ning, Nathaniel Fetelvero, Shaza Dalila, and Alison Jenner. Video by Hanida Amin. Thank you so very much, guys. See you next week.
All right, see ya.
Remember Fire Disco?
Tea dance.
You're too young. You wouldn't know.
Yeah,
that's my guess.